Welcome to the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Welcome back to the Press Box. I'm Greg Avropoulos, joined by my friend here, Josh McGrath-Sagan. And first of all, we're going to start this off. We've been doing this show now since about November. So how many months is that now?
November, quit December, counting, January, Josh. February, March, April, May, June, July. We're 9 months in.
So almost a year we've been doing this.
Damn, dude.
That's pretty crazy to think about.
That is crazy.
We've been doing this a year.
If you don't move back to Markham, we might be able to pull it for a full year.
Yeah, we could actually do it a full year if I don't move back. So, speaking of that, for our fans that are listening, we are heading into our last semester after this one, which will start in September. And we're not sure if I'm going to move back to Markham, which is where I'm from, or I'm going to stay here. If I stay here, we're definitely going to continue this. If not, who knows what's going to happen after that. We probably won't.
I'm going to have to draft some newbies.
Yeah, we might have to get some other people to start this going again. But, you know, if that does happen, which is still some time down the road, still got about a month or so, month and a bit, you know. Thank you for listening, everybody. Appreciate it. And we've had a lot of fun doing this. So, we're going to keep going here. Going to start this show with the NFL.
As always.
Because this is our, you know, we got a nice format that we have.
We do.
We're going to start with the NFL today. And first thing we're going to talk about, Mr. Zach Wilson.
Legend. He's a legend.
I think we all have gained a certain amount of respect for Zach Wilson over the last week or so.
Not a great quarterback, but hey. He pulls in dimes.
Who cares?
Tell you that much.
Because he does.
He does a lot off the field. Yeah, he does a lot off the field, tell you that much.
If nobody knows what we're referring to, we can give you a quick rundown. So basically, Zach Wilson's girlfriend and him.
Ex-girlfriend.
Well, now ex. I was leading up to that.
Okay, sorry. They're not dating anymore.
It's fine. So basically, they broke up. And so what happened is Zach Wilson decided after they broke up to Zach Wilson's ex-girlfriend is now dating his best friend.
College roommate.
Yeah, because college roommate, who they used to be best friends, used to spend time together a lot. I remember they used to go to basketball games too a lot. I remember I saw him sitting courtside.
Yep.
And basically, Zach Wilson said, well, you know what? If you're going to go date, you know, my ex-girlfriend, then I'm going to one-up you. So,
Josh, the lady that gave birth to him, the ultimate sign of disrespect. He's like, hey, anything you can do, I can do better. And yeah, kind of wild. And you know, it was kind of funny because you think this would be a big deal and people would like hate on Zach. He's getting so much love though.
Everybody loves him now.
W's in the chat for Zach Wilson.
I don't think going into the league, Zach Wilson was getting kind of hated because everybody thought he just was, you know, not good and people were hating on him. But ever since, I've never seen a turnaround quite like this, where everybody goes from not liking somebody to them being like him being like their savior. Like everybody loves him now, and he's been and the memes on the internet have been top tier. They've been great this week.
Top tier. If you want a good laugh, just go type Zach Wilson in on Twitter, and you'll find great memes.
You'll find some great stuff. So yeah, to paraphrase everything we were just talking about, Zach Wilson had to go with his friend's mom. That was great. And then now. It's kind of a weird situation, but Zach Wilson actually took a break off social media for a bit during this, and he came back yesterday, and he posted a picture of him training with his teammates from the Jets, and the caption was, just got my phone back, ... what did I miss, ... Zach, big dub. Zach, if you're listening, you're not, but if you are.
If you ever hear this.
Big dub.
You're not my idol, buddy. You're my idol.
We love you, Zach, even though you're on the Jets, but we love you now.
Yeah.
So, all right, moving on, Josh.
Next, Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield.
He's been moved. The Cleveland Browns quarterback curse has continued.
Yeah.
I don't know how long it's been going on for, 40 quarterbacks now?
I mean, it's gonna keep going up.
Yeah, it's just going to keep going.
Yeah.
Who do they have now? Is it Deshaun?
It's Deshaun, but he's not going to play. I mean, who knows? People were saying yesterday that he's only going to get suspended for 4 to 6 weeks, which is absurd.
Like, yeah,
So,
yeah, we talked about this, that he should just be...
Yeah, he shouldn't be allowed to play, like, again, basically. But their starting quarterback now is going to be Jacoby Brissett, who is not good at all. He's not good at football. He did have one good year when he was on the Colts, when he was starting for the Colts in, like, 2018, 2019. Ever since then, no, not good. So he's not a starter. He's just basically... He's a good backup quarterback, but if you have to start with Jacoby Brissett, not good. It's not going to happen. Yeah.
Yeah. Baker Mayfield to the Panthers. How do you feel about that, Craig?
So I was actually talking to my barber about this because he's, you know, my barber is a big football fan. He's actually a Browns fan. And
damn.
Yeah, I'm like, first of all, I was like, must be tough. Second of all, I'm like, I'm a Bills fan, so we can suffer together. He's like, all right, cool. So basically, I was talking to him about Baker, and he was asking me about Baker because I'd like to say I got a pretty good football mind. I know what's going on. And he was asking me about it, and he asked me, where do you think he's going to go? And this was about 3 weeks ago, I think I got my haircut. Yeah, 3 weeks ago, I was in the chair. He's asking me, where do you think he's going to go? Where do you think is a good place for him now that Cleveland, he's not going to want to play for Cleveland because they just signed Deshaun? And I said to him, actually, this is a true story. You can ask him. We can get him on the show. He said to me where he's going to go, and I said, I think he's going to go to Carolina. I think Carolina's going to trade for him because they need a quarterback. They have Sam Darnold there, who was actually in the same draft class as Baker Mayfield, who was the third pick in that draft, Sam Darnold was. And his career, my God, it's done for. He's not coming back. He's basically, how can I say this? His eyes don't work, basically, is what I'm trying to say.
He's blind.
Yeah, so basically what I mean by this, I'm not saying he's actually blind. I'm just making an analogy to him not being able to see any receiver open ever. So basically when he's throwing, I think he gets confused with his team's jerseys and the other's team's jerseys, basically. He throws it to the other team a lot. I'm saying he throws a lot of interceptions.
Maybe he's colorblind.
Yeah, maybe.
He's not legally
know.
Blind, but he's some form of blind.
He must be something because he throws like, I think he did like 20 interceptions last year, which is a lot of interceptions. As we know, Jameis once had a 30-touchdown, 30-interception year, which was unreal. It was so fun to watch, but it was also like, what are you doing, Jameis? That was fun. But, yeah, so Sam Darnold's kind of like Jameis in that way where he can't take care of the football, which if I was a coach if I was his coach on any team, I'd be like, yeah, this is terrible. I can't do this. I can't watch this guy play 17 games on my team. And so I said they're going to trade for Baker. And here we are now. They traded him for, I think, a 7th-round pick. It was like nothing. Which I'm not surprised with. But, see, here's the thing. Baker, I think he's a solid quarterback when he's healthy. Because last year, he had an injury-riddled season. He was actually solid in the first half of last year, I remember. And then he got injured. I think he hurt one of his shoulders, left or right. I'm not too sure. But even if you're hurting your shoulder, that's, like, not your throwing shoulder, it's still hard to play. Like, it hurts. Yeah. Like, you can't, like, you know, like, when you're moving around, it hurts. So, basically, Baker, after that, just wasn't very good. But people also forget his rookie year. I think he threw 20 touchdowns and 6 interceptions. So,
yeah.
He was really good in his rookie year. And people thought he would keep going because they're like, oh, Baker Mayfield was the first pick in the draft in 2018. And he's just going to keep getting better, better, better. Not really the case. He kind of was good in his rookie year, down second year. Third year was all right, but kind of shaky. And then last year, injury riddled, didn't look very good. So Cleveland was saying, you know what? We don't need that anymore if he's going to keep. Because he also is kind of a guy that throws a lot of interceptions. So, basically, Cleveland shipped him out, and they signed Deshaun. And Baker saw that they signed Deshaun. And Baker was like, what the heck? Like, I thought I was your quarterback. And they were like, guess not. So, they signed Deshaun, shipped Baker to Carolina. And I like this move a lot for Carolina because they don't have a quarterback, but they have a really, really good roster. And, like, that's, like, the only thing they're missing. They have good receivers, DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, both really good receivers. DJ Moore, I think he's going into his third or fourth year. Really good young receiver, but he has never had a good quarterback to throw him the ball, which I think he's going to have a big year now because of that. And I think Baker's going to have a good year, especially because they have McCaffrey, and Baker excels in play action, and they're going to be running the ball a lot. So if they're going to keep running the ball with McCaffrey, then you're going to hit a play action, and Baker's going to have a lot to look at, and their O-line is solid too. So I think he's going to have a good year. They have a good defense. Josh, what are your thoughts on especially for a guy like that, how important is it to have a change of scenery, like if you're an athlete like that, when you had a good year, first year of your career, and then you kind of, your team doesn't want you anymore, essentially.
So how I always see it is it goes one of two ways, and it depends on how the athlete responds, but sometimes you see it goes really good for them, and they end up having, like, their career year. They show, like, who they're supposed to be. Or it goes absolutely horrendous because you're in a whole new environment. You know, you have to make the move. Your family's coming over there, whatever it is. So it depends on how Baker responds. I think he's going to respond as he is going to improve. I think he's going to he's somewhere where they want him, and I don't think fans are going to, in Carolina, they're not going to be as nitpicky as they are on the Browns. Because obviously, like, when he came to the Browns, he's supposed to be, like, the savior. He's supposed to be the one to break the Browns' curse of their quarterback problem. But I think him being in Carolina is great. He doesn't have big shoes to fill from like last year or anything. So I think this is going to be really good for him.
Okay, moving on here. We have about 4 minutes to go.
Jeez.
So what we're going to talk about here is the Patriots traded their former first-round pick in 2019. I could be wrong. And N'Keal Harry, I'm pretty sure he was drafted in 2019. He was drafted the last year that Brady was on the – or in the offseason that Brady left to go to the Bucs. So I think that was 2019 or 2020.
I think it was 2019.
Yeah. So that offseason, they drafted N'Keal Harry. I forget where he went to school. I don't remember that. But I apologize for forgetting that. But he got drafted with the 30th pick, I think, by the New England Patriots in that draft. First-round pick, he's a big guy. 6'4", 215, 220, he's a big guy. So like a jump ball target is basically essentially what he is. And he had a really, 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 really bad first 3 years of his career to the point where last year New England was healthy scratching him. Like, he wasn't even playing. So they traded him to the Bears for a 7th-round pick, which is basically what Baker got traded for. Again, same thing pretty much. And he's also a guy I think needed a change of scenery because in college he was really good, and I don't think he's lost his ability to be a good receiver. Like, he's 6'4", 220. If you can just catch the ball, like, you'll be fine. You can just go up and get it. But he did have drop issues when he was with New England, and I think don't get me wrong, I think the Bears are going to be one of the worst teams in the league this year, but I think N'Keal Harry is going to bounce back because he had a really bad first few years of his career, and I think now that he's going to get the opportunity to play in Chicago because they don't have good receivers. So he's going to get to play with Justin Fields. Justin Fields, also up-and-coming quarterback, young guy, rookie year last year, really good runner. I think he had like 800 rushing yards last year. But we don't really know what he's like passing the ball. So I think a big target like that, a 6'4", 220 guy for a young receiver can help a lot. Because even, let's say you're a quarterback who can't throw accurately and you have a 6'4", 220 guy out there. You can throw it anywhere near his radius and he'll probably get it if he can catch the ball, which N'Keal Harry hasn't done well. So I like this move for them. It's like it's really a really low risk move. You're only giving up a 7th-round pick for a guy who got drafted in the first round 2 years ago. I mean, I don't see why that's a bad move. I know Patriots fans don't like him, so they're like, yeah, let him go. But I think he can do okay in Chicago, and that's how I feel about that move.
It also doesn't help for the guy because Mac Jones can't throw the ball.
Mac Jones is not great, but. No.
People are like, oh, he's so good, but he's not that good.
Yeah, he kind of really throws only like 5 yard passes.
You watched that Bills-Patriots game when it was like windy, and I think the Bills lost.
Yeah, it was in they ended up losing. Season, yeah.
But like Mac Jones literally threw like 3 passes.
Yeah, he threw 3 passes and we lost. I'm still upset about it. Yeah. But it's okay. We got our revenge in the playoffs. But
true.
Yeah, so Mac Jones, I'm not going to talk smack about Mac Jones. I think he's going to be good because he had a pretty good season last year. For considering he was a rookie, he was the best rookie in his class so far that we know of, like quarterback in his class, and he looked pretty good last year. The only thing he really struggles with so far, he's the arm strength isn't there, so he can't really push the ball down the field too much. But he's really accurate in like the short to mid range, so like 3 to 15 yards, he's like money. Like he can throw those all day, but past that, not good. Which for N'Keal Harry, he's kind of a big jump ball deep threat, so he's not going to get opportunities like that.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why he didn't have a great year last year. But also, I can see what Patriots fans were saying because he did drop a lot of balls. He did have stone hands, which is what I like to say when people can't catch. So, yeah.
You know what that means? Throw him as a DB, baby.
Just play him at safety. You know, just get him to jump down balls and whatever. You know, bat down some balls.
True.
But yeah, that's been our NFL segment. After this, we're gonna get into the NHL
or no NBA.
NBA, sorry, NBA and.
9 months, man. You still don't know the format.
I'm sorry.
Jesus. Every week, he's always like, I think we're doing UFC next.
Yeah, I don't know.
Every time.
I forget. All right, I'm a forgetful guy. All right, so it's NBA and what is it? Are we splitting it?
Yeah, local sports.
Yeah, NBA and local sports. So we're going to talk about how we went to a Blackjacks game 2 weeks ago, a week ago.
I think it was last Wednesday.
Yeah, so last Wednesday we went to a Blackjacks game. We'll talk about that and how the Blackjacks are doing, so stay tuned after these quick few messages.
The Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Welcome back to The Press Box. I'm Greg Avgaropoulos, joined by Josh McGrath Sagan. And we're going to hop into the NBA. We just got breaking news. Woj bomb. Josh, hop into it, sir.
Yeah, so DeAndre Ayton, the center of the Phoenix Suns, who has they've been going at it head-to-head like all season. I know it started last year. He was like, I want my money. And they're like, dude, we're not paying you because you don't do anything for us, really. so... The Indiana Pacers, who were the front runner for the last like week or so, have offered him $133 million for a max offer sheet, which actually ends up being the largest in NBA history. Me and Greg were just talking about this. Like, how is that the largest?
Yeah.
But I kind of have an idea of it because most teams typically would re-sign their first round top three pick.
You would assume
this,
so, yeah.
At this point in their career. But Ayton's kind of just been like a steady guy. He's a good center, but I don't think he's a max guy, you know? Like Phoenix has been saying, like, you've been giving us like 16-9 for like three seasons now, and you're not a very good defender. So, yeah. Like, we can go get that anywhere else for less money. So, like, why would we give that to you? Well, obviously, ain't chasing the bag. But the Suns have 48 hours to match. So, I'm sure the Suns are picking up the phone right now. They're like, hey, why don't we do our sign and trade deal? We had something going there, and you guys just kind of bailed on us. Stop answering our calls, whatever. I could see Miles Turner ending up in a Phoenix jersey next year, which I'd be all for. I'm a big Miles. I love Miles Turner. Really good player. Not on the max, so that's also good for them. But at the same time, Indiana can just be like, nah. We're not doing it.
Yeah, they could be like that, yeah.
And then Phoenix is left in a pickle. They're like, hey, we're just about to lose this guy for free, or we have to pay him the money he wants, which is definitely not what they want to do. So, yeah, they're in a bit of a pickle right now.
They are indeed in a little bit of a pickle. And we see here that two big centers who, DeAndre Ayton's a good player, you know.
Yeah, he's good.
I guess, obviously, they don't want to give him the money, I guess, maybe, because he's not as good as they thought he was going to be. But
and they're also paying Devin Booker and Chris Paul lot of money.
They are in some cap hell. So, yeah.
So if you offer DeAndre Ayton, like, he's absorbing a lot of money for the next 4 years, which they're just saying, like, I don't know how much higher your ceiling is going to get, which is fair. It's a fair judgment.
It is fair. So what do we – how much is Miles Turner?
I don't think it's a max.
His contract?
That's all I know.
Let me Google his contract.
I don't think it's a max.
Miles
Turner. If it's a max, I'll be kind of shocked. But at least if you get Miles Turner, like, you get a better rim protector than DeAndre Ayton. And I'd say probably similar skill offensively. And he can step out and shoot the three. So
he signed a four-year, $80 million deal extension.
Yeah, so
it's not a max.
Yeah, it's not a max. So they're paying him roughly $20 million a year.
17 and a half a year, yeah.
Yeah, so that's good.
So, yeah, that's solid. If they can – he's a free agent next year. So are they going to wait till next – are they going to trade for him?
Well, if you do a sign and trade, then at least you get him, and then you have an opportunity to re-sign him this season. But I don't know what's going to happen.
So
I'm kind of happy, man. I don't like the Suns. So
fair enough. So let's say they do trade. They do that trade, and then they sign a trade for Miles Turner. How much is Miles Turner going to get?
He'll get the whole thing because he's going to be under contract. But it's going to be a sign and trade. Like, what's going to happen is it's going to be a sign and trade. So DeAndre Ayton gets the signature, right? He gets his contract, and then they give Miles Turner over. And then at that point, they can choose if they want to re-sign him or not.
No, yeah. So do you think they're going to give him an extension when they sign him is what I'm saying?
I mean, I would.
I would too, but how much money is he going to make?
I'd probably say from the 64 to 80 million range again.
So you think he's going to make another $80 million?
Over 4 years?
$80 million? Or do you don't think he's going to get more than that?
No. He's also been, like, last year he, like, was, like, in and out of the lineup constantly. He had some injuries. But he's another guy where I think he's reached his ceiling. I just think, like, I would take him for the $17.5 million over DeAndre Ayton because he's a better rim protector, which is what the Suns really need.
Fair enough. So let's say that does happen. We saw what happened with the Suns last year and with the Mavs and whatever. And people thought the Suns were going to go back to the West Finals, and I don't know what happened with them. They just choked. But
They were talking too much.
Yeah, they were. And if you do make that trade for Miles Turner, what do you think the Suns can do now with that trade? Because they do have a rim protector now, which Ayton was, but he wasn't like Miles Turner.
I think they're still a contender in the West. I don't think they're a contender for the Finals. I think, like, a lot of teams in the East just beat them. Just because you have Chris Paul on your team, so he's just not allowed to win a championship, apparently.
Yeah, which is kind of unfortunate for him because, you know, he's one of the best point guards to ever play the game. So
yeah, probably top five.
It's kind of, you know, will he ever get a ring is the question we're going to ask, which I don't think he will.
Maybe, but I don't think when he does win one, I don't think he'll be a part of the
lineup. Yeah, he'll be like a
he'll just
be
like there. He'll be there.
Yeah. He might be like a seventh, eighth man.
In other news. I'm pretty sure on the show I was correct. You know, a few months ago I said Utah blow it up. They're blowing it up.
They did.
They're saving my boy Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah.
I'm happy. He's going to be in New York. Like I said, that's where I'd like to see him go, get him a big stage. Obviously, nothing's final yet, but New York's about the only team that is throwing a package right now, and I'm cool with it because I think that'd be great.
So let's say the New York does trade for him.
No, they're still not good.
Yeah.
they're still not good.
They're still definitely not good. But let's say they do. Okay. And then you have a good like young core though. You know, you have Mitchell, you have RJ Barrett, you have Obi Toppin.
So some of those guys are gonna be gone in this Mitchell trade for sure.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, they're gonna go back the other way. You're not wrong.
Yeah. Something's gonna have
to
go.
So they
back.
Trade for Mitchell, like he's gonna be alone there, technically.
No, it's gonna be him, Mr. Brunson, you know, the
Oh
the
yeah,
16,
sorry, I forgot
16
about him.
Point per game max contract.
Sorry, I forgot
player.
About him.
forgot about him. Julius Randle. Hopefully he can kind of
Oh, I forgot Julius Randle.
Re-energize himself because obviously his first year in the Knicks, he was really good. Led him to the playoffs last year.
He was
year.
Almost an MVP candidate in that year.
Yeah, he was really good. And then in the playoffs, everyone's like, hey, we can just double team him and he can't do anything.
Yeah, he can't do anything.
And now he's just like, I don't know what is wrong with him, but he does not like being in New York.
Yeah.
I think it's just because the fans are really like bitter. Like they expect a lot from their team. But yeah, he just does
Which
not
is,
want to be there.
That's just a New York market, though,
yeah,
right? Like their fans are just like that. They expect
the
best.
They're like one of the biggest franchises in NBA history, but they're a poverty franchise. It's kind of sad.
Yeah,
and that's really it. Chet Holmgren, good or bust? What do you think?
I think he's going to be fine.
I think he's going to be pretty good, but he's going to get hurt like very early.
The defense and the what's it called? What do you say when somebody gets like his health is going to be an issue because I think he's going to get injured a lot because I couldn't stumble on it, but. His health's going to be an issue because he's going to get injured a lot. Because
I think so, yeah.
When you're that big going against, let's say, you know, 300-pound Joel Embiid, he's going to kill him.
Joel, Giannis, like I see so many memes of his, like, first time Chet against Giannis. And it's just, like, Giannis, like,
he's going to get bulldozed, and
like,
he's going to get hurt.
In, like, 10 years when he gets his first, like, his interview, and, like, what's your NBA moment? It's going to be like, oh, the first time I felt Giannis' shoulder in my chest. Like, I thought he just collapsed my whole chest.
How much does he weigh?
Dude, I think I weigh more than him.
I think you do.
This guy looks like he weighs, like, 150 pounds.
Yeah, like,
He definitely doesn't. He probably weighs, like...
Probably, like, 190, no?
190, 200 around, yeah. But still. Like
but
he
doesn't
just,
look it at all.
He's so
like,
skinny.
He got bullied by Kenny Lofton Jr. in Summer League.
Bro, badly.
Yeah,
Kenny Lofton was moving him. Like, NBA guys...
Kenny Lofton low-key looks nice, though. I'm not gonna lie.
Dude, he's gonna be on that Memphis roster for sure. He's gonna go back and forth from the G League, but he'll make that team for sure. Yeah, man, I don't know about Chet.
I don't know either, but we're gonna move on now, because... We're at the 8-minute mark, so we're going to talk about
the local sports.
The local sports and the game we went to last week. So, Josh, you want to recap?
So, last week, me and Greg in our men's rec league, you know, we weren't getting much love in that league. So, the commish was nice enough to allow us to shoot for tickets. So, I went up, you know, wet, hit a nice little three. And me and Greg got free tickets. You know, it was kind of funny. My girlfriend was there and I asked Greg first. And he just kind of gave me this look.
I was like...
And then I was like, I just went to her because I already knew she was going to say no. I was like, hey, do you want to come? And she's like, no. And I was like, Greg, we're going.
we're definitely going. Yeah.
So, yeah, we went. Good night to go. First ever blackjack game I went to.
And it was a lot of fun.
And it was a lot of fun. Yeah. You know, had some beers, some expensive food. Getting out of parking was terrible.
It was so bad.
But they won by 50, which...
Franchise record.
Yep. I think it tied. They set the record for least amount of points scored in a game against... They held Saskatchewan to 50 points, and they scored 101 or something.
Yeah.
51-point blowout, massive. Largest margin of win as well. And Dang Adele scored like 2 points. It was wild.
Yeah, their best player didn't really do anything.
Was just he had so many open shots, and he's like, nah, and just like dished it, whatever. I don't know. He just didn't want to score, but hey. Does not matter. They killed Saskatchewan.
They did, and a big part of that was because Walt Lemon just had the game of his life. Like, he was just going off. He was finishing over, like, 7-foot guys. It was crazy.
I think, okay, there had to have been some beef there because I know in the first quarter, every time he scored, he grilled the bench. The Saskatchewan bench. He was staring
was
at it with this little smirk. So, like, I don't know if they cut him or something. Like, he was tried out for them, and they were like, nah, you have a broke jumper. You're not playing here, or what it was. But he circled that game and was like, hey, I'm going off. And he went off. He was jelly. Everything. He was going crazy.
Yeah, he was finishing everything. Like, every time he got to the rack, like, he was finishing. It was crazy.
It was crazy.
The free throws were not great, obviously. He doesn't have a great, you know, jump shot. That's not very good. But we're not going to talk about that because they killed them. So.
Yeah, they killed them. And then they played Fraser Valley. That was a 3-game win streak, I think, for them. They played Fraser Valley like 2 days later, who was originally the number one team in the league. And they beat Fraser Valley. They got the redemption from the season opener, because they lost on like a crazy buzzer beater, or not really buzzer beater, but game winner. And then They played, who'd they play the other night? And then they played Edmonton again, who they beat a week ago, and they lost by like 8. Edmonton, two-time defending champions, you know, they're really good. But the team to chase in this whole league right now is Hamilton. Hamilton Honey Badgers. They're really good. They're like 12-3 or something right now. They're killing everyone. So I think the Blackjacks play them pretty soon. I kind of want to try and get out to that game because I'm sure it will be a fun game to watch. The Fraser Valley game, Dangadel had 27, I believe. And then the other night against Edmonton, Walt Lemon had like 23 or something.
Yeah, like this. So. I know, you know, Ottawa's not like a top team in the league or anything, but
record-wise, I think talent-wise, they're still
they
up
do there. Have a lot of good players. Yeah. Like, seeing them in person, I was like, man, these guys are good. They like are. That, I don't remember his good. Name. The guy with the headband and the two sleeves and the dreads or the
Ty Green.
Yeah, that guy was good too. I was like, I never heard of this guy.
He's
but
money
he was,
team. He's
he was
money
wet.
Team.
Like, he was making everything.
He led the league in 3-point percentage last year.
I could
like,
see why.
Shot like 49% or something crazy like that. Yeah, no, it's just like sometimes just like their pieces aren't there every night. You know, like some nights it's like Walt's having a good game. Dang's like playing okay, but then like all their role player guys are just missing everything. And then other nights it's like the role player guys are playing well, but Walt and Dang are nowhere to be found. So it's like they just need to get clicking, get rolling. And obviously it's like doesn't help when they have a whole roster change at the start of the season and then a coaching change. And now they have a whole new system in place. So now they're you can see them get rolling a bit more.
So the two games you're talking about, which how many points did they score in the game they won? The one you were just talking about?
Which one? Fraser Valley?
Yeah.
I think it was like 97.
Okay, so like they can score.
They can score the ball, but yeah. That's the thing. They all have to be there. Like they all have to be present that night. Cause
yeah, they all have to be playing. They have to play. All like you can't just have one of them playing good and the rest of them like whatever. You gotta have everybody playing.
It's
good
more
together.
Like it's just their role players. Like sometimes Jackson Rowe, number 34, they're starting four. Some nights he's like wet, like he does not miss. And other nights he's like he can't even hit the rim. And it's like
that's a problem.
What's happening?
Yeah.
So yeah.
How did that new guy do that? They signed.
Which guy?
Gray.
Great. Well, he played the night we went, and he was really good. Like he's,
yeah,
he was really good off the bench for them because it's a guard that they can allow Walt to get the ball out of his hands for one, and two, to give Walt rest. Because at the start of the year, like Coach Joanne was just like Tom Thibbing Walt. Yeah. He was just like, you're not coming off. And then now Walt can like sit. As you saw, he had like a good cool down in the middle of the game.
He did, literally. We thought he was done playing.
Yeah, it was like third quarter, and the guy just starts stretching, doesn't care. And I was like, dude, he's cooling down already.
Yeah.
He has somewhere to be.
He's saying the game's over, basically, is what he's saying. And then he still came back in because I think he wanted to get – how many points did he have in that game? It had to have been over 25, right?
I think he had like 26, 27.
Yeah, that makes sense. Maybe he just wanted to end the game because he did get the last point with the free throw. And
I think he wanted the alum ending.
So we got about 30 seconds here. So real quick, we can talk about the quarterback for the Red Blacks getting injured for the rest of the year, I think.
So they were not happy. People are really mad about it. The Saskatchewan guy came out and apologized for it or whatever. And
he issued an apology.
Yeah, and now the Red Blacks don't have a quarterback.
Yeah, they did sign one. I'm not too sure what his name was, but I'm pretty sure he's from here. So
I think
that was why they signed
him. Isn't
it
only preseason still too, though?
No, it's a season now.
It's restarted? So they lost their first game then.
Yeah.
To Saskatchewan.
Yeah, course. So they lost to the Lions and Saskatchewan, but I think that was during preseason.
Yeah, I think now like they just played Saskatchewan last Friday on the 8th, and that was
No, the season started. Yeah, they're 0-4.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Yeah.
Because remember last week when we checked, it said that there was 0-0.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's all the time we have, so we can talk about this other stuff later. But after this, we're going to get into the NHL free agency, and we'll stay tuned for the next segment.
The Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Welcome back to the Press Box. I'm Greg Avgaropoulos, joined by Mr. Josh McGrath Sagan, and we're going to get into the NHL because free agency was yesterday, and it was quite the day. There was a lot of signings. There was a lot of surprising ones, a lot of...
I have a quick question about free agency.
Go ahead.
Is it only a one-day thing?
No. It's keeping going. It's still going.
Okay, because one of the residents at my work was like, oh, yeah, it's done tonight. And I was like, what?
No.
I was like, I feel like it goes like all the way up till like the season, pretty much. There's, like, not even till the deadline.
I think it goes until
like it just goes
mid August, late August.
Yeah, but even then, like you can still sign people during the season, so it just stays open. Like
it pretty much just stays open, yeah. But basically, so there's still a lot of big free agents that haven't been signed. Like the biggest one that hasn't been signed so far is Nazem Kadri, who won a cup with Colorado this year, and nobody signed him yet, so we don't know what's going
to
happen there.
Is he going to make his return to Toronto?
Definitely not. We have no cap room. I would love that, though. Love me some Nazem Kadri. But we're going to hop it to the Ottawa Senators because we are based in Ottawa. So we're going to talk about this. Claude Giroux. I'm not going to lie. The Sens fans were kind of speaking this one into existence during the season.
We even said this last the trade deadline last year. Or, like, earlier this season.
Exactly, yeah. Like everybody's been saying that he's been coming here. I'm not going to lie. I was kind of like, why would he come here? He wants to win games. He doesn't want to come here.
Well, notice how he only came here once they signed a few other pieces.
Yeah, once they traded for Alex DeBrincat, which, oh, by the way, thank you for reminding me. We're going to talk about that. They traded for Alex DeBrincat. Alex DeBrincat, I think it was a first, a second, and a third, or a first, a second, and then a first in next year's draft.
Yeah,
or,
they gave it the seventh pick for him?
Yeah, they gave it the seventh pick this year for this draft. And to get Alex DeBrincat, who had a career year last year. I think he scored 40 goals in Chicago last year, which was impressive because Chicago was very bad last year. And he's a nice forward to slot into their top six because now, look, I'm not going to lie, looking at Ottawa's team now, their forwards are really, really good. Their defense, not so good. Their forwards, though, top six, I think it's Brady Tkachuk, Tim Stützle, Claude Giroux. And then on the second line, it's DeBrincat, Batherson, and Norris, or Norris, Batherson, however it goes. So that's a really good top six, and that's a really young top six. So the only, obviously, old guy there is Giroux, who's, I think he's 34 now.
Yeah, 34. And for 3 years, too.
And, yeah, they signed for 3 years. So, and it was a good deal. It was only like $6 million, 6.5, which for Giroux, because he's, I know he's 34, but he still, like, produces at a high level. So
yeah, he's had 80 points, 60 points last year, something like that?
Yeah, he had 60 plus, which is, for his age, really good. So, and he was a big part in Florida's, you know, run to the playoffs last year. I know they lost in the second round. I was going to say,
they got swept.
They didn't really have a run, but, you know, to the playoffs.
Yeah, you're about to say finals, and then you caught yourself.
And I was like, never mind, they didn't do anything. So, they went to the playoffs, and he played a big part in them. He was also in their top six. So, Ottawa's top six, really good, really young. I like the Giroux addition. I like the contract, and it's only 3 years. So if he's not good by, like, this contract ends when he's 37, if he's not good by then, like, it doesn't matter because he's going to be off the books. So I like that contract a lot. And Ottawa still has a lot of cap space because they don't have a lot of bad contracts.
Yeah, the GM's not done.
Yeah, and they're still trying to make moves.
There's a lot of rumors about Mackenzie Weegar coming to Ottawa.
Yeah.
You know, he's born and raised in Ottawa, so it'd be pretty cool to see him come back. I work with someone that's close to him. So she was telling me that he was telling his family that if Claude comes, he's coming. So he's doing whatever he can to get out of Florida to come to Ottawa, which is pretty cool. They're trying to – all they really got – and they signed Cam Talbot.
Yeah, so –
which is pretty good.
Or the trader for Cam Talbot. So basically, Ottawa's made three big moves so far. They traded for DeBrincat. They signed Giroux or they signed Talbot. Or they traded for Talbot after they signed DeBrincat, and then after that they signed Giroux. So the Talbot trade was just Talbot for Philip Gustafson, one for one. Gustafson is a 23-year-old goalie for Ottawa, so he's a young guy prospect. And they just traded for 35-year-old Cam Talbot because Cam Talbot has been proven in the league. He was one of the best goalies in the league for a long time, back in his like mid to late 20s, into his early 30s, and he was on Minnesota last year. And he wanted to get out of Minnesota because
Fleury.
He felt like they were disrespecting him by bringing in Fleury, exactly. So, basically, he said he wanted to leave. And now he finds a good spot here because now he's going to be in a tandem with Anton Forsberg, who had a good year for Ottawa last year. And it's going to be him as well. So, they have a decent goalie tandem. Still, we don't know how good Cam Talbot's going to be next year because he's going into his 36-year-old season now. And Forsberg was really only proven he's been a good goalie for one season. So, we don't really know. Kind of question marks there, but we'll see what happens then. And they need defense, as you said. Mackenzie Weegar is a guy that they've been rumored to sign or to trade. I think he has 2 years left on his deal, so they need to. If they want him, they have to trade for him. I don't know what exactly they trade, but he only makes like $3.5 million on the cap, so it's not that bad. And he's a good player. He had like 60 points last or 44 points last year as a defenseman, which is a lot of points for a defenseman. And I said this to you yesterday. He's like an offensive defenseman, which is not really what the Sens need because they have offense. They need defense. But if you can trade for Mackenzie Weegar, like, there's no reason why you shouldn't. Like, he's Mackenzie Weegar. He's a good player. And what did your who's the relation that you know?
So I know his aunt.
So his aunt. What did she did? Can we get a little inside scoop? Like, what'd she say? Like, did she say like he might come here or like?
Yeah. So he's doing what he can to get to Ottawa because he wanted to. Him and Claude Giroux apparently really close.
Oh, okay.
So. pretty much once Claude was like, hey, I'm going to Ottawa, he was like, hey, I kind of want to come to Ottawa. So
yeah,
and plus like his whole family's here and stuff. So makes sense. He has a house here already. So
in his like his media presser after he signed like with the jersey and stuff, they do the little introductory press conference. He said, I want to go home, which is what he said. He wants to go home. He is now home because he is I forget where he was born.
Giroux.
Do you know where he grew up?
Giroux.
Yeah.
I thought he grew up in Quebec.
Well, he said he wanted to go home.
Yeah. Like, so I think
he lived near Ottawa.
I think he lived in Hull and then. I think his parents moved here after, and then he went to school and stuff here for a bit. Because I knew that was a big thing at the deadline, was that he was saying that he always wanted to play for Ottawa, and that's why everyone was like, oh, he's coming to Ottawa. And then, plays the season out, goes for a cup run, they get swept, and then he's like, you know what, I'm going to go home.
Yeah, so he did say, after he got asked about the bring Giroux back home movement that started on social media from all the Sens fans and stuff like that, he said it definitely played a role. I usually don't read Twitter too much, but it was good to see Sens fans just wanted me to come home and play for the Sens, and it's always something that I wanted to do. So as you said, he's always said he wanted to come home, and the Sens fans actually were a big influence on why he wanted to come home, because as he said there, they've been nothing but nice to him, and they've always wanted him to come back to Ottawa. So now he is back in Ottawa, and Ottawa might, maybe they'll make the playoffs next year. Who knows?
Yeah, it might be a push for the playoffs.
So, here's the next thing we're going to talk about, because this is a big one. Johnny Gaudreau, who is one of the best wingers in the league, he was on Calgary for the first, I think he's going into his ninth year now, maybe. For the first 8 years of his career, he was on Calgary. He was a big draft pick. They called him Johnny Hockey. And he had a career year last year, which is, it's funny seeing athletes, when they're in a contract year, they end up having the best year of their careers, which is, it's funny.
They're fighting for a contract.
Exactly, because they're going to play the hardest they ever have because they want to get money. So, he was under last year, had over 100 points, and obviously Calgary lost to Edmonton in the second round, so he didn't get to actually, go all the way like he wanted to, I guess. But, he left Calgary. They offered him a big deal. I think it was 7 million. It was 7 years, 7 years and more than 10 million a year. And he declined it, after he declined it, my thought, which I think a lot of NHL fans thought, was he's going to go to New Jersey or he's going to go to Philadelphia, because he's from Philadelphia, and he's kind of near New Jersey. I don't remember if he was from Philadelphia or he's from New Jersey. Actually, no, I think he's from New Jersey, but people were saying he had family in Philadelphia, so he might go there, but I was like, no, he's not going to go to Philadelphia. They're not going to be good, so he's going to go to New Jersey, because New Jersey's not good either, but they have a lot of good young pieces, like Ottawa. They have a lot of good young pieces. But they're not good yet. But they probably are going to be good in the future. So I thought he was going to go to them. I thought it was going to be like a Giroux situation in Ottawa. I thought Gaudreau was going to go to New Jersey. So we found out yesterday, after everybody thought he was going to New Jersey, he signs with Columbus out of nowhere, which nobody thought that was coming, because Columbus was not one of the teams he had on his list, like that anybody talked about.
Yeah, and there was a whole thing with that too. You're saying that he didn't want to stay in Calgary.
Yeah.
And it was a family decision, but I don't know why they chose Columbus.
Yeah, Columbus had a lot. I'm like, if you want to go home, go to New Jersey. You're from New Jersey. But no, he said, I'm going to Columbus, which was so weird to me because, once again, nobody thought he was going there. Nobody said he was going to go there. He wasn't rumored to go there. And that came out of nowhere. And he's like, yeah, well, I signed with Columbus for less money than what he got offered in Calgary and New Jersey. Calgary and New Jersey both offered him more than $10 million a year, but he took $9.7 million from Columbus for 7 years, which made no sense to me. Once again, he's not from Columbus. I don't know. Maybe his family are too, but he's not from there.
I feel like they have, good schools or something.
Maybe, I don't know.
He said it was a family decision with, him, his wife, and his kids. So there's something there.
Yeah, there's something there that happened. A lot of people were saying that his wife or girlfriend, whatever the relation is, a lot of people were saying she was doing the negotiating for him, and which I thought was really funny because I'm like, Johnny, buddy, you just had a career year and you're – your woman's doing it for you? What's that about?
And then Evgeny Malkin re-signed with the Pens.
Yeah, Malkin and Letang both re-signed with the Pens, so...
Yeah, there's a bit... Everyone's like, where do you think he's going? I'm like, dude, he's going to stay. I'm like, he's not going to leave.
Yeah, which people thought Malkin was going to leave for a sec because Pittsburgh never offered him, the deal they wanted. And basically, Malkin wanted... I think he wanted 4 years, but they were only giving him 2 or something like that. And they were like, yeah, no, I can't do it because I want to be here the rest of my career or whatever. So they finally, I think what it was, Sidney Crosby probably played an influence on that. He's probably like, guys, give Malkin the damn 4 years, all right? We need to have him on our team.
He deserves it.
Exactly. He's been on your team for so long. He's been loyal to you guys for so long. He's won two cups with you guys.
Like,
Like, give him what he's worth, give him what he deserves, and bang. And then they gave Letang a lot of money, which he's been on the team for a long time as well, so I kind of get it. But I think it was like, Letang's like 34 years old, and they gave him like 6 years for $6 million a year, 6.7 a year, which is a lot of money for a defenseman that old and going into his 35th-year-old season, I think he is. He's up there. But yeah, Pittsburgh has a lot of old guys, and they just signed two old guys back to big contracts, so that's interesting for them.
Hey, do your farewell tour with all those guys and figure out the rebuild.
They want to run it back one more time, you know, a few more times, see if they can. I still think they can compete for sure. I think Malkin's still a good player.
They were close last year to getting out of the first round.
They should have won that round, to be honest. And they lost to the team that went to the Eastern Finals, so it's not that bad. Yeah,
who knows?
But
sports math usually doesn't work like that, but you never know.
Yeah, we're going to shift to probably the last segment here probably last topic of this segment. The Leafs, we're on top of the Leafs. So, basically, I mean, the only reason we're talking about them is because they made two moves.
So, I wanted to ask you, do they have a goalie now?
Technically, yes, but no. So, okay.
There is a goalie on the roster. It's just not the ideal goalie.
Yeah. So, basically, we had to talk about this because this happened last week. Not even, like a few days ago.
Yeah, it happened two days ago.
They traded, what'd they trade? I don't even remember. It was a...
They traded a contract.
So they traded for Matt Murray. I don't remember what they traded.
I'm pretty sure it was a player that was like on a pretty bad
contract. Oh, no, sorry. Okay, no. Before this. So they traded Peter Mrazek to Chicago. For Peter Mrazek and a second-round pick to Chicago for basically nothing because it was a cap dump, and they wanted to get a new goalie because Mrazek was making 3.8, if I'm not mistaken, and he was injured the whole year last year, and he barely played. And when he played, he was bad. So they wanted to trade him, so they got him out of there, clear some cap room. So when they did that, I thought maybe they were going to re-sign Jack Campbell because they're like they got that money out of the way. So I'm like, okay, maybe they can re-sign Jack now, which is what I thought they were going to do. But it came down to terms. So Dubas wanted to sign him. Jim Leese, Kyle Dubas, that's who that is if nobody knows. He wanted to sign Jack for three years only, and I think Jack wanted five. I think Dubas wanted it to be so that when his contract's up, that's when Matthews' contract is up, so we can sign Matthews. So he doesn't want Campbell's contract on the books for Matthews because Matthews is going to want to be the highest paid player in the league when his contract is up, which I get. So they're trying to build contracts around when his contract expires. So basically, they couldn't sign him, and then Campbell ended up signing with Edmonton, 5 years, $5 million. Congrats, Soup. Love you, buddy. I'm going to miss you. But
Edmonton got him, eh?
Yeah, which Edmonton takes all our players. It's really annoying.
They re-signed Kane too.
Yeah, so
Edmonton's looking good. Solid. The problem last year was goaltending. So
yeah, and they got one. So congrats to them. I don't like them, but congrats to them. But gotta wrap up here. So yeah, so the Leafs traded for Matt Murray. Don't remember what the return was, but the Ottawa ended up retaining 25% of his salary, which I kind of wanted them to retain half of it, not 25, because like now he still makes $4.6 million, which is a lot for him because he was injured a lot last year. But Matt Murray's only 28 years old, and he won two cups with Pittsburgh. So he wasn't good in Ottawa for the first 2 years here in Ottawa on his deal, but he was injured a lot. So when he's healthy, he's a good goalie. So I think it's fine. And they also signed Ilya Samsonov from Washington to a one-year deal for $1.8 million, so that's like nothing. So if he ends up being good, great. If he doesn't end up being good, whatever. He makes no money anyway, so it's fine. So that's the Leafs' new tandem. I don't know how I feel about it. I think it's going to be decent just because our offense is so good, so we don't need crazy goaltending, but it's a little scary to say the least. So that's it for this segment. After this, we're going to hop into the UFC.
Yeah, he did it.
I did it.
This is the only last segment, but hey.
Yeah, I was. Dude, we're not splitting it, right? It's just UFC?
No, it's just UFC.
Okay, so just UFC after this. So stay tuned for that after these quick few messages.
The Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Welcome back to The Press Box. My name is Greg Avgaropoulos, joined by Mr. Josh McGrath Seguin, and it is 3:30 right now, so we got to leave soon, so we're going to get through this UFC segment. And Josh, you want to talk about the Rafael versus Rafael debacle last week?
Yeah, so last week, Rafael versus Rafael for the name of Rafael. it was just a fun fight to talk about, but also just a fun fight in general. So Rafael Fiziev knocked out the legend Rafael Dos Anjos, the former 155 champion, in the fifth round. Was like literally 18 seconds into the round. He just caught him with a nice slick hook, put him down. And Yeah, Fiziev now kind of coming into his own, showing that he's going to be a force to be reckoned with in this 155 division. Fun fighter to watch, always entertaining. Trains out of Tiger Muay Thai, I believe it's called, over in Thailand. Yeah, cool fight. This upcoming weekend, we have a 2 p.m. start time. It's on ABC. Early. They do this all the time where when it's on like the alternate channels, they're like, oh, we're going to have it nice early in the day so more people watch. No one's going to watch it on ABC, man.
Yeah.
Doesn't really matter. Anyways, the card's actually pretty good. So the main event, Ortega and Yair Rodriguez, which good fight, you know. Ortega, though, not very good when he has to fight primarily strikers. He's kind of just a punching bag. So I don't know how that will go for Ortega. Under the prelims, Ricky Simon, Jack Shore. That's probably the only like interesting fight on the prelims. So on the main card, though, Miesha Tate, Lauren Murphy. That'll be a pretty good fight. Lauren Murphy actually said today that she shouldn't have fought Valentina because of a sickness. Lauren, Valentina's just that much better than you, okay? Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Shane Burgos fights Charles Jourdain. That should be a fun one. Shane Burgos always puts on a good fight. I really like watching him. I don't know who either of those guys are. Flyweight division, doesn't really matter. Li Jing Liang. This guy's fun to watch. He's a brawler. He's really, really good.
He's the one that got picked up by Hamza, right?
Yeah. We don't talk about that, though. We protect Lee at all costs. Versus Muslim. I'm not going to try to say that last name. That should be a pretty good one. I think the welterweight division is kind of one of those divisions where, like...
Salikov?
Maybe? I don't know.
Salikov?
Couldn't tell you.
Sounds right.
Welterweight's one of those divisions, though, that, like, needs fresh blood. Kamaru's kind of just rinsing everyone.
Yeah.
So they need someone coming.
We'll
in.
See. Maybe he'll lose. Isn't that the against Leon Edwards?
Very possible.
Yeah.
Very possible. Probably not, but very possible.
Yeah, probably not.
Because I think, like, if it gets bad on the feet, he's just going to take him down, and it's going to be a snooze fest.
Yeah.
It's going to go back to Marty Snoozman. And then the Karate Hottie, Michelle Watterson, is fighting Amanda Lemos. That should be a fun one. I hope Michelle Watterson wins, because she's kind of had a rough go her last few fights. But I know Lemos is really good. So it's very possible that...
11-2-1 is her record.
Yeah, but she also just... like, what was her last notable win? One second. She fought... she lost to Andrade.
Oh.
But, you know, everyone loses to
Andrade. I mean, Andrade is really good, though.
And then she beat Angela Hill, who's pretty good. I mean, she was good. Now she's a 500 fighter. She beat Ruiz and Renata Souza. I remember that was a pretty good fight. And then the main event, Brian Ortega, Yair Rodriguez. I think Yair gets this one done. You know, he was giving Max some trouble early in their fight, and then Max just kind of was like, I'm the best boxer in the UFC, baby, and then just started piecing him up.
That was a hard fight to watch, too.
The Max Yair one?
Yes.
Or the Max Cater one?
I don't remember. My mind just went blank.
Because the Cater one's
the one where he was saying I'm the best boxer.
That was the Cater fight.
Yeah, no, because like he was just getting pieced up while he wasn't even looking at him. He was just looking at the announce table.
That was wild.
It was.
That was wild. But yeah, Yair probably gets this one done. But this is definitely probably for the next title shot. I mean, Ortega seems to think, oh, I gave Volk the most trouble. No, you didn't, buddy. You had him in a guillotine for like a minute and a half.
He got killed the rest of the fight.
He got killed. Yeah, like literally for a minute, you maybe had him almost unconscious, but somehow Volk lived. I don't know how.
Yeah, it was tight too.
Dude, like his face was like purple.
It was bad.
It was purple. And then,
but that was like his only big thing, the only fight.
Then he got out and he just started wailing on Ortega, like wailing.
Ortega's face after that fight too. Scary.
It was like Max. It was like when he fought Max. It was the same thing. Exactly. That was also a bad one to watch because Max was like giving him tips and lessons in the ring. Like he was showing him how to block properly and stuff and like how to slip. I was like, oh God, bro, this is embarrassing. So yeah, I think Ortega is going to become the gatekeeper for that division. But obviously, we don't know what's going to happen because Volk has expressed a lot of interest in moving up to 155.
Which I'm down for.
I'm so down for. There's so many good fights there.
Exactly.
So many good fights.
That'd be sick.
Him Chandler. Him Poirier, him Gaethje, him Charles, obviously. All those great fights.
Yep. You want to talk about the next fight night? Because this one looks pretty nice. Nice card.
The next with the Lennon card?
Yeah.
The only thing I'll say about that card, because I want to talk about it next week when we're like it's coming up to
Fair enough.
Darren Till is not on the co-main event anymore. It is who replaced him? Who replaced him? It's a really good.
Did he get injured in camp?
He had he has like an ACL. He had an ACL tear like a year ago or whatever.
Yeah, like it's like a bunch like of
fluid.
Years,
yeah, like a, yeah. a bunch of fluid like built up in his knee.
Yeah.
So he had to get it all drained. But man, who's replacing? It's a really good fighter. Darren Till replacement. Sorry guys, I'm just doing some quick research.
Quick Google search.
Chris Curtis. Action man Chris Curtis. Really good fight. So that's going to be fun. That card, though, is going to be a banger. That one's also at 2 p.m. because it's in London.
Yeah.
They have all the English people fighting on it.
Yeah.
Except for Edwards, obviously. And they're also missing, what's the undefeated guy? Brendan Allen? Is that the guy that absolutely killed Dan Hooker? Like 3 months ago?
I think so, yes.
Brendan Allen or whatever?
I'm pretty
sure.
He's not
on it. I'm pretty sure he's English. But besides that, they have a really good fight card coming up. Yeah, today's also Conor McGregor's birthday.
Just slip that in there.
No one really cares.
Yeah, nobody really cares.
Who knows when he's fighting again?
So when he does come back, who is he going to fight?
Dude, honestly, probably Charles.
You think so?
Okay, so.
Because Charles has been calling for it, too.
I was reading something, and there was a rumor that UFC is going to, I think it was MSG in November, and the card that they're looking to headline was Charles Islam, and it would be, who was the other fight? I think it was I want to say it was Pereira Izzy. I think that was it.
Which one?
It's a rumor. It's in November. It's going to be an MSG. And it's going to be Izzy Pereira as the headline and then Islam Charles as the co-main.
That would be fire.
Which I would kind of like it.
Yeah.
But I'm just confused. I'm going to take that with a grain of salt just because I know Dana White's been very public with like Islam has to fight Benelli.
Yeah.
Charles has been very vocal. I'm still champion. I don't care what the UFC says. I'm champion, which is fair. He should be champion.
Yeah, I
don't care
should, if he missed I agree. By he half should be, pound. He should be champion.
Still, especially yes. After the whole debacle of like, oh, the scale wasn't right.
Yeah.
That was all garbage. He should be champion. He wants Conor because he wants the payday.
I would too. I mean, if you're in his position, are you not saying, yeah, I want Conor too?
100%. Like he's made.
You're getting the money.
He's made some money, but he hasn't gotten a Conor payday yet. So when he gets like, a Conor payday,
anytime you fight Conor, you're gonna get a nice payday.
Especially when you're like a champion.
Yeah.
You get pay per view points. So
Conor, let's be real. The champions in UFC don't really make a lot of money.
No, they don't.
Because like,
dude, did you not see so he paid
Kyle from Nelk $250K.
Figueiredo only got $200K for his fight against Moreno.
Dana, not going to lie, kind of a scumbag for that.
To be fair, though, people forget Dana no longer is the full runner of the company.
Yeah.
There's a whole board of people around him now with Endeavor. So
but
as much
still,
as
the UFC pay's never been like good.
He is pretty much the face of the media. So he takes all the stuff because he doesn't care.
Yeah.
We'll never see an Endeavor person come out and talk about these things. But anyways, yeah. Charles Conor probably happens before Islam Charles, I think.
So you think that's the next fight to make for Charles?
I mean, like I'd rather see him Islam fight because I already know Charles probably beats Conor.
I think pretty easily, to be honest.
Could you imagine though? Because Charles gets dropped early, and Conor's an 8-minute fighter.
Yeah,
Conor can definitely put him out.
Probably.
Could you imagine if Conor actually sleeps and becomes champion again? How terrible that will be for the 155 division,
That'd
bro.
That'd be so funny though.
It'd be so depressing. I'd be so sad if that happened, man.
Because like whenever his next title fight is, he's just gonna die.
Like Khabib will like come out of retirement. He's like, yo, I'm coming back. Like this cannot happen. Charles, how'd you let this happen? But yeah, it's very possible that happens. How much time have we got?
3 minutes.
Okay. So the only other thing I'm kind of sad about, I thought it was gonna be we're gonna get Dustin Justin 2 fight. First fight was a banger.
That would've been nice.
Yeah, but then Chandler has to come and start talking to Dustin Poirier.
Yeah.
Which I don't get why. Like, Dustin beats Chandler. Yeah. 100%.
I think pretty easily.
Yeah, I think easily. I think he's going to put Chandler out.
I mean, Poirier's, like, the second best fighter in that division, is he not?
Yeah, he's... So, like, him, Whitaker, Ortega, and... Who was the other guy? There's another guy in the UFC that's, like... Oh, Piotr Jan. Those four guys, they will never, ever grasp the belt again. Or, for some of them, the first time ever.
I agree.
Because they're just like, they're the best fighter in the division. They're 0-2 or 0-3 against the champion, and they're never going to get another title fight until someone else beats the champ.
Yeah.
Which even then, half of them will just get to run it back. So
probably.
Poor guys.
Sad.
Especially for Piotr. I feel heartbroken for him. Because he was like winning that first fight so well. Like, he was dominating it and then just threw a stupid shot. That shouldn't even be illegal.
That his corner said, yeah, do it.
Yeah, and it shouldn't even be illegal. And then here we are.
Yeah. It shouldn't be illegal, but like, you should know the rules.
100%. Like, I just think it shouldn't be illegal. And every other martial art, you're allowed to throw that shot. Only in the UFC, you're not allowed.
That's true. Which is I think they should probably change that.
How Demetrius Johnson lost his belt and won.
Yeah. That rule is I do understand it kind of to an extent, but like, it's also like,
I don't think there's any like true ruling around it, you know?
Yeah, like you're literally allowed to do anything else but that. Pretty much.
And yeah, nut shots and
yeah, besides low blows and stuff and like eye pokes. Like, I mean, eye pokes happen all the time though, but
even then, like, sometimes guys will like blatantly kick someone in the nuts or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's fine.
Like, and they're like, oh yeah,
they don't take a point. Just a warning. Just a warning. But then, like, as soon as you throw an illegal knee, it's no warning. It's, like, immediate DQ.
You know what they do when they throw
Also, I don't get how he lost his belt.
Yeah, I don't know either. How do you lose your belt on a disqualification?
You shouldn't.
Yeah, you shouldn't. It should just be a no contest.
I think it should be a no contest. It shouldn't be a win.
Like, you can run it back, but, like, no contest. Nothing happens in that fight. We got about a minute, so if you want to talk about anything else, we can. Or we can just end it
early. We can end it early because we gotta go to class.
All right. Well, we're gonna end
this. I have to get ready actually for class.
Yeah, we're gonna end this now because we gotta go to class soon. So thank you for listening to this episode of the Press Box. It's been Josh McGrath Sagan and Greg Avgaropoulos. We'll see you next week when we talk about more free agency stuff with the NHL and some more Ottawa Blackjacks, some Ottawa Redblacks, some local sports in general, and the NFL and all that other stuff. So thank you for listening. See you next week.